Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. I have to say, I'm not taking a cold shower like Ollie did last week. I'm taking it a bit more gently, but that's because of my age. But all power to Ollie. That beginning last Sunday, I hope you managed to watch it online. It was fantastic. Brilliantly done, Ollie. But for us, it really has been a very strange time. And even now, as perhaps you begin to venture out, people are making every effort to avoid you and keep 2 meters apart or 1 meter plus mitigation. But of course, the first choice we are having to make is, do we venture out? And if so, how far do we go? Choice and the freedom of choice has well and truly been restricted during this time. For Sylvia and I, we have to choose whether or not to hug our grandchildren. If we take a moment to think about it, I'm sure we can all think of ways of that our ability to choose has been limited. This morning, we're continuing our series in Matthew's Gospel, and our focus for this series is Come Follow Me. And this morning, we want to look particularly at choices. You might have noticed the book that Ollie had on his lap. It was called You Choose, and certainly the opportunity to choose has been limited for us. But our reading this morning helps us to think about the choices we make. The chapter has a number of areas for us to look at. The first, Jesus is the one who came. The second, John is the one who prepared. And finally, the difference between facts and fiction. Jesus is the one who came. Verse 1 of chapter 11 has a really tantalizing start, which for me invokes curiosity. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, you know, I just had to look back to chapter 5, to chapter 10, to find out what these were. What were these instructions? And as you look back, Jesus was giving instructions to the 12 disciples who he is about to send out. And here are a few snippets. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. But then comes the rub. I am sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. Or, you will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Brother will betray brother to death. Whoever does not take up their cross to follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. You know, my first reaction was, whoa, Jesus doesn't mince his words, does he? You can't say that Jesus made the choices easy for them. Brother will betray brother to death. You'll be hated by everyone. Yes, they were rough and ready bunch. They certainly were. And some of them fishermen from the bottom end of the social scale. And then, of course, we have Matthew, the tax collector, a pariah hated by his countrymen and despised by the Romans. Yet these men and women that were with Jesus made a choice to follow, and for many of them, they ended up by being put to death. Ollie quoted again that verse I've just read, whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And they found it in Jesus, and we can too, but it's what we choose and how we choose. Of course, we might say they had the advantage of living, working, and breathing alongside Jesus. They had seen for themselves that everywhere that Jesus went, he brought the kingdom of heaven to earth, bringing healing and deliverance, miracles that showed that God's kingdom was a different kingdom. Maybe that made their choice to follow that much easier. When John was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, that is Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Perhaps a simple yes or no would have sufficed, but Jesus doesn't let us, all the disciples of John, off the hook so easily. Jesus replies, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." What Jesus is saying essentially is, "I'm doing all these things that have been prophesied about me. What do you think?" These words that Jesus quotes are from the book of Isaiah. "I'm doing all these things that have been prophesied about me. What do you think?" I can't help but wonder what choice John's disciples made, having heard Jesus' reply. Did they decide then and there that they would follow Jesus, even though they hadn't seen what Jesus described? What would our choice be? Or are we more inclined to say, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and the wound in his side, I will not believe"? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, as the scripture we read. Secondly, John is the one who prepared the way. And then Jesus turns his attention to the crowd, doesn't he? And doesn't exactly read sweetly. Jesus lays down a challenge. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see?" It seems to me that he is challenging the just curious, those who have come to gawp at this phenomena, which is John the Baptist. Or do they really want to hear what the prophet is saying? Jesus is quite clear that John is the one who was called to prepare the way for the Messiah, even if John had doubted who Jesus was. It's not wrong to doubt. That's why we need one another to help us in our faith. "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you," says the scripture we've read. Jesus confronts the crowd with a choice. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Are they going to listen and follow, or are they just curious? As we read verse 16, Jesus well and truly lays it on the line. "To what can I compare this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others." This whole passage is loaded with challenge. Jesus was certainly not afraid to confront the people of his day. If Jesus was saying to you or I, "To what can I compare this generation?" how would we respond? How would we justify the choices we have made as we've sought to follow him? And then, of course, we have the difference between fact and fiction. And today, if you're like me, you're completely fed up with the daily news, because for some while now it's become difficult to separate fact from fiction. We read, "John came neither eating nor drinking," and they say, "He has a demon." "The Son of Man came eating and drinking," and they say, "Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. As I reread verses 18 and 19, it seems that Jesus is asking us to examine beyond what's been said and reported of him to both the life and the fruit of his ministry. Jesus describes a generation that cannot recognize the truth that is right in front of them. Do we recognize the truth that is right in front of us? The Messiah, the one who they have been waiting for, is right in front of him. Right in front of them, I should say. The Messiah, the one they have been waiting for, is right in front of them. Yet they fail to see beyond the superficial appearances of the prophet and the Son of Man. In this text, it is clear that Jesus knows who he is. But can others see him for who he really is? We have a choice, which is beyond what our eyes initially observe. And I was really struck by Dawn Lucas's message from Matthew 9 a few weeks back, There's a story of the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. And in verse 22 of chapter 9, we read, Jesus turned and saw her. Jesus didn't see an outcast, but someone in real need. He saw past the outward to the inward. Jesus didn't see an outcast, but someone in real need. How often do we judge by what our eyes first see? Have you ever been disappointed or even disheartened when someone else doesn't see you for who you really are? Can we choose to see things differently? It's only as we choose to spend time with one another that we actually learn about each other, see what's really in the depths of each of us. I love this quote that Jessica Bailey preached about sometime, perhaps over a year ago. This is what she shared. In sharing your story, you find out who I am. I find out who you are. You find out who you are. And we both find out who God is. It's through intimacy with one another, in sharing time and friendship and fellowship, perhaps sharing a meal together, that we find out who that person that we see really is. But finally, back to the disciples, whose allegiance to Jesus was remarkable and who made really difficult choices and made them willingly, because not only did they see for themselves that the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor, but they also knew they had been filled. They had been filled with the same Holy Spirit as Jesus, and that gave them confidence to continue his ministry. And it is the same Holy Spirit that God has promised each one of us if we will choose to follow him. Bishop William Temple used to illustrate the point that Christians are capable of living like Christ through the indwelling Spirit in this way. It is no good giving me a play like Hamlet or King Lear and telling me to write a play like that. Shakespeare could do it. I can't. It's no good showing me a life like the life of Jesus and telling me to live a life like that. Jesus could do it. I can't. But if the genius of Shakespeare could come and live in me, then I could write plays like his. And if the Spirit of Jesus could come and live in me, then I could live a life like his. All we have to do today is choose. Amen. Let's take a moment and pray together. Father, we thank you in your great goodness that you have laid choices before us. Today, enable us to choose to follow you. We thank you that you bring redemption and wholeness and enable us to live a life like your life, as we choose to follow you, as we choose to welcome your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen.